Coming to you from the northeast side of the beautiful state of Ohio, we are at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference
2018.
Awesome.
Amazing.
As usual.
So Joe.
Yes.
Did you see Bigfoot today?
I did not see Bigfoot.
Do you see him right in front of you?
No.
He could be right in front of you and you wouldn't know
it. We have Littlefoots in front of us. And if you're not here, you can't win him. But you can buy them on our site.
Yeah, definitely. Check it out. Gotta
have
one.
Foot. We have t-shirts. We
got stickers.
Stickers and protection stones.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not big enough to hit Bigfoot with, but the metaphysical part of it will protect you.
You know what was really creeptastic today? Driving in and hearing all those frogs.
Yeah. We drove in at night because we did get a detour that we made a wrong turn. So, as usual, we got into the park a little late, but it was dark. And we're driving down the main road coming into the park, and all these frogs are going across. And it was like real-life Frogger. I was, instead of the frogs trying to avoid the cars, it was the car trying to avoid all the frogs. And Jen was making her Bigfoot whoop out the window.
Yes, I was. I was doing it, and I lost my voice.
Yeah, luckily she has her voice today, because we're going to have a ton of interviews today for you.
Yes.
The place is filling up already. It is actually 9 in the morning, folks. It's 9 a.m., and we're working on getting our stuff set up, and we look up, and there's people coming in, so we're like, hurry, hurry, hurry.
Yes.
So let's not leave you with any more suspense. Let's get into our first interview. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy the day.
And with us today, we have Jerry Donahue. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Jerry.
Jerry with G.
That is correct.
So we are coming to you live, recorded from the 2018 Ohio Bigfoot Conference here in Salt Fork Lake State Park. How are you today?
Doing quite well. It's a little toasty in this room, but that's okay.
We're sweating like...
Yeah, we're in the sauna.
We're sweating like a squatch in a squatch suit.
Wow, that would be kind of difficult. Do they make them that
I always
big?
Say a bear in a bear suit, but today it's a squatch in a squatch suit.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, those suits are very, very hot. I have a friend who played Bigfoot in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in the creature suit. It was like, he lost like 20 pounds. Yeah. It's crazy.
So basically, if you want to lose weight, you become a squatch. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Jerry, tell us a little bit about why you came to the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
Well, my lovely wife, who is sitting next to me, who's waving at the microphone, she brought me here for a birthday trip.
Aw, happy birthday.
Thank you. Both our birthdays are this month. She'll be 35 on the 12th. I'll be 50 at the end of the month on the 29th.
Fitty.
Big 50. Really? Yeah.
That's exciting.
Wow. So, I watch all the paranormal and cryptozoology stuff on TV, ancient aliens, the whole bit. So she surprised me with a trip out here to the conference.
Awesome.
That was a nice surprise.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got a good one. You better keep her.
Yeah. She's good.
She has no clue you're talking about her.
Yeah, she's, you know. She's a little shy. She doesn't like being on the microphone.
Yeah. You know. Tell us, have you ever had a paranormal or a Bigfoot experience?
No.
Actually,
I was part of a Pennsylvania Underground Paranormal Society.
Pups. Remember them?
Yeah. Lisa Terrio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love them.
Selma Mansion in Norristown, PA. And we did a lot of exploring at Selma, of course, and Fort Mifflin, which is where I saw my first apparition.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Full body?
No, she's a half body. It was the upper half. And turned out it was, I thought it was somebody's little kid running past the room because they had a convention there. They had for paranormal.
Okay.
And I thought it was somebody's kid running through the casemate hallway. Now, the casemates are set up where it's only that one hallway in and out, and you have five rooms set up. So, and I'm in the first room. I see this little figure run past the room or fly past the room. Didn't think till later. Wait, I didn't hear any footsteps. I checked every room. There was nobody there. and it was only the upper half of the body. Turns out there was a... So I guess he was a civilian. I don't know if he actually got to the point of being a soldier. They called him Mike the Midget.
Oh.
And he died while he was there. So I'm like, okay, cool. After I realized, I'm like, wait a minute. There were no footsteps. Hold on. That was only a half. Dude, I saw my first apparition. That's awesome.
It's the most exciting thing when you experience something like that.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. I've had my hair tugged. I've had disembodied sniffs in my ear. I mean, when something happens like that, most people are like, oh, I'd freak out. I'm like, no.
No.
I get excited.
That's what we go there. That's why we go there.
Yeah, exactly.
What you're there for. Where, if you could go anywhere, any place in the whole world to ghost hunt, where would you go?
Oh, geez.
Like wow. What's on your bucket list, Gary?
Wow. Let's see.
Jerry.
Whatever my name is.
I'll
change it tomorrow.
It's so hot in here. I'm like ready to faint.
I'm feeling verklempt. I'd probably have to go somewhere over in Ireland because that's where my family is from.
Okay.
I'm third generation Irish, both sides. So hence the Donaghy, not exactly being the most easy name to pronounce.
When is what county are you from or what area?
County Cork.
Oh, so is our family.
Ah, there you go.
Yes.
Same. The same neighborhood.
Yep. There you go.
It's beautiful.
We might even be related for all you know.
Probably.
My mother's maiden name is McLaughlin, which is like Smith over there.
Okay. Okay.
You can't swing a stick without hitting one.
We're O'Fallon.
Or Shillelagh. There you go.
We're O'Fallons.
O'Fallon? There you go. Yeah. We have Finnegan, Evans. Let's see. Donaghy, McLaughlin, Finnegan. I can't even think right now. It's too damn hot. I have a whole list that I go down. I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Donaghy, McLaughlin, Bogan, Evans, Finnegan, Hughes, and Early. There we
nice.
Go.
Nice.
Had to go through a whole gamut of it. So, not Irish at all.
No.
So
just
has
a
there,
little bit.
Has there ever been anything that gave you that old crap moment besides, I mean, in a way that you want to get out of there?
At one point there was a negative energy in some on the third floor.
Okay.
And there was some bad vibes coming off of that. And I was pretty much security for the group. I always pick the big ugly scary guys to do security. So if you're 6 foot, 210, guess what? You're on security. Okay. It didn't really make me go, oh, crap. But I was more, I could feel the negativity and... You get a combination of different people that are in the group together to have the positive energy to force it out.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's kind of what you do. Then, of course, you do the, sage.
Yeah, you always have to protect yourself.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Say that all the time on the show.
Yeah.
And we get that question a lot, too, and that's why we bring it up so much.
Yeah.
Is people don't understand that you have to tell them to stay out of your body.
Oh, absolutely.
All
you never just let me just enter into this part of my body, so I know you're there. No, you never do that.
Because during the whole investigation, we're inviting them to come over. Come on, speak to us. Come speak to us.
That's different than saying, hey, take over. No.
Yeah.
Exactly. No. And I've heard so many times during the investigation, people are like, you can hit me. You can do that. I'm like,
really? do you realize what they can do?
Do you realize what they can
I mean, wait till it happens. You'll be dancing a different jig.
I don't know if you... I'm just trying to... Damn, I'm like under pressure here. I'm like,
pressure, no worries.
No, he's from Scotland. I can't believe I forgot his name. Excuse me.
That happens to me all the time.
I'm sorry, Jason. Jason Love, totally brain farted on his name. But I don't know if you know who Jason Love is.
Mm-mm.
He's Scotland's only recognized demonologist.
Oh, okay. We need to interview him.
Yeah, he's a very cool guy. Really, really cool. But he was at Selma Mansion, and he's been hospitalized a few times from doing exorcisms.
Oh my gosh.
Not in PA, not in the United States, but over in like England and Scotland, and he's been hospitalized numerous times because physical attacks.
It happens. I'm telling you, it happens. You got to protect yourself.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, and this is somebody who's, he does exorcisms for a living.
Yeah.
And he's been hospitalized. So these people are like, they're messing with something they don't know what understand. I mean, I have questions like, okay, well, we see ghosts. And they can interact with us sometimes. Now, the ones that can interact with us, do they see us as ghosts in their realm?
We talk about that all the time. Yeah, it's how do they see us?
Yeah.
And that goes in with how you should do your investigation. You think of that, too. Is a lot, you know, you don't just say, come talk into this box.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, you never, mm-hmm. No, you want respect, you got to give respect.
Exactly.
You know, that goes in all life and lifestyles.
And we hear, like, EVPs, it's possible that's how they hear us. We may only have two or three words that they hear
right.
when we talk.
Exactly.
We don't
provoke.
We won't know until
yeah,
we're, part
we're
of
on that side, yeah. By which time it's like, okay, now we know. It can't really, doesn't help this side any. But yeah, provoking is never a good idea
yeah,
either.
Yeah, that's one big thing that we always preach. Don't provoke. No.
Yeah.
Jen was in Mansfield Prison with Zach Bagan.
What did you do? No. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That was a bad girl.
He was provoking.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. I see.
In a prison.
I've stopped watching that show because of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not very,
scary.
Very disrespectful. I'm sorry, but no.
Yeah.
I don't approve of that, and I don't advise it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of times people see what these shows portray, and they think that's how you go out and investigate.
Right.
You know, it doesn't happen in 30 minutes.
No.
You can sit there all night long.
You can take a week, and sometimes you won't get anything, and sometimes you'll be in there 2 minutes, and you get more than you would ever hope to bargain for.
Yeah.
Do you use any particular equipment when you go in or something you like to use?
I don't have a lot of money to spend, so like the EVP stuff is mainly my go-to. I've actually took a picture. We were out in Gettysburg. My wife and I went out last year for Gettysburg for another birthday trip. We went out for a Memorial Day weekend, which is where Memorial Day came from, was Gettysburg.
Okay.
And we went to the Jenny Wade House. Yeah. And you guys know about Jenny Wade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the whole history.
We've been there.
And I was taking a picture of the two bullet holes on the mantelpiece.
Yeah.
Wanting to have that bedpost was right in the middle. As I'm taking a picture of the bullet holes, an orb shoots past right in front of the bedpost.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I actually got that on. I have a picture of that, which I'll show you guys a little bit later.
Yeah,
and I'll send it to you if you want me to.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I love that place.
Oh,
that,
yeah. And another point, my phone is holding it down by my side, and the flash goes off.
Oh,
for no reason. I checked my phone for pictures and all that later. There was no picture taken. The flash just went off.
Wow.
And I'm like,
oh, hi.
How you doing?
They love to play with your electronics.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then we stayed at the Link, was it Gettysburg Hotel, was it? Gettysburg Hotel, third floor. Yeah. We were staying in the old historic part. And I'm walking from the bed to the bathroom, and right across in front of me goes another orb.
Oh.
I'm like, guy, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be right back. I'm like,
very
okay.
Cool.
Can I get some privacy if you don't mind?
Yeah. And they say in Gettysburg the ghosts are everywhere, so when you go to the bathroom...
Yeah. You might not be alone.
Or the grocery store.
Yeah.
Or the park.
Yeah, especially the park. There's that one covered bridge, too.
Sex Bridge,
yep. We didn't see anything, but I would love to see something like that happen there.
Yeah, that's.
I've talked to people that have seen things during the day at Sax Bridge.
Oh, really?
It was.
They think it's a reenactor or something like that?
They thought it was reenactor, yeah, and it wasn't.
Wow. you asked before about the oh crap moment.
Yeah.
The only time that really happened was actually something that happened that was not paranormal. Mm-hmm. It was like when I was a kid, we were out in the Amish area, and we're coming back, and it's like in the evening, so it's still somewhat, I guess it would be dawn or dusk, I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's starting to get dusk. So you're passing by one of the horse buggies with a black horse, and then the steam comes out the nose, and it's just that is the scariest thing I think I had ever seen in my life.
Has this horseman?
Like, oh, crap. But, yeah, that was just definitely unnerving.
Haunted
Amish?
Haunted Amish. I almost said haunted Englishmen, but
not quite.
Maybe they're messing with us right now.
They might be.
Here you go.
They're messing with our brainwaves.
It's the humididity.
We were talking about that, too. What do you think the Amish think about the paranormal? We were talking because we never had a chance to talk to him about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and the thing is, as far as the whole paranormal thing, they're very religious.
Yeah,
I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a given. They probably don't want to acknowledge it, or if they do, they think it's evil.
Yeah,
I mean, because they're strictly, you know, by the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, and
that's what we're thinking.
I would think. I can't speak. Yeah. I would like to know myself. You know, getting an interview with one of them. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We got some dirty looks as we were driving past their buggies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we took
probably because I was yelling out the window, "Horsey, horsey, horsey!"
Let me put the horsey.
The funniest thing is, I ride a motorcycle. Obviously, you can tell by the whole Harley Davidson shirt and everything. Is we'd go out there on a bike. All those Amish kids run to the side of the road, just waving all the bikes riding by. That's really cool. And we stopped there on the way back from Gettysburg, and bought something on the side of the road. And the kid had to do change. It was a young kid, too. Mm-hmm. And just had to change in no time flat, like a snap of his fingers. I'm like, damn, that's impressive.
Yeah. I can't even.
Dude, I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, there's a lot of young kids out there. You wait on you. They can't make change.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's just like
really?
Really? I'm sorry, my register's not working. What's your change? $25. I gave you a 10. My change is $25. Yeah. Thank you. Of course, that never works.
Yeah. So
not for lack of trying.
What's your best piece of advice that you can give someone that wants to get into paranormal investigating?
I would have to say probably that's going to be tough because, I mean, I've stumbled into the Pups group. I met them at a parade.
Okay.
My best advice is go to one of the conventions, meet a local group, hang out with them, see what they do, ask them questions.
Yeah.
Questions are key with anything. If you want to learn anything, you got to ask questions.
Exactly.
And, just get to know the people. Find out if you feel comfortable with them. Ask them if you can go on an investigation with them. Get it and so you can learn.
Yeah.
And if the group is a good group, they'll be, oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's other groups that are just out there for the money.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll say, oh, no, if you want to do an investigation with us, it's going to cost you this much money. You know, we pocket that money.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, because we got to keep up our gear. You need to buy batteries.
Yeah.
Batteries? You don't have to buy batteries. You can use our dowsing rods.
Yeah,
that we
go.
Sell for $20.
Yeah, there you go. Or we can rent them to you for 10.
There you go.
So. Exactly. Well, Jerry, we really appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Giving a little insight.
Jerry, would love having you on. Thank you so much. And are you still doing a show? I know.
I'm actually more of a guest on the show.
Okay.
I just don't have the time availability because
right.
It was a volunteer thing.
Okay.
Let's do it for fun.
What's the name of it in case someone wants to check it out?
It's called The Shake Man Show on AquanetRadio.com.
Okay.
And it's, you know, 80s hair metal.
Awesome. I love the 80s music.
No paranormal or Bigfoot, cryptozoology or aliens or anything like that. Just music, and music and insanity is essentially the best way to put it.
And the best thing is to listen while you're blowing up your 99 loof balloons.
There you go. Yeah. Actually, I stumbled onto that, too. I was riding with a charity group, and we were promoting a benefit concert. And they had me in, and I got comfortable with the mic, obviously.
Yeah.
And they were doing, soundboard from a TV show called Crank Anchors.
Oh, yeah.
Special Ed. And the host played one of the sound bites, and then I had said something with the same voice, and the station owner was there. I didn't know who this guy was.
Yeah.
So I said, and the station owner said, oh, play that one again. And he said, which one? It was what I had said. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, crap, I really messed up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was me, sorry. He's like, no. Don't apologize. Like, thinking to myself, okay.
Yeah.
And I'd, spewed out, maybe about 8 other impressions in, 5 minutes, and the host of the show is just sitting there with his eyes wide open, like, what the hell is going on here? So he actually sings with a band back in Philly area called Old School.
Okay.
And he next show I went to, he was like, yeah, I want to talk to you for a minute. Okay. Yeah, the station owner wants you on the show on a regular basis.
There you go.
And in my, I'm playing it cool on the outside. I'm like, oh, let me talk to the wife and kids, make sure we're cool with it. And inside my head, I'm like, yes. And So I'm like, go to them. Like, yeah, yeah, they're cool with it. He's like, oh, cool. It's on Wednesday nights, as you already know. I'm like, okay, cool. And I spent 3 years
awesome.
Doing that show. We had up to 200,000 listeners.
That's great.
Worldwide.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a great time.
We'll get there someday.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're working. One day at a time.
That's all you can do. As long as you're having fun, you're doing the right
thing.
That's
right.
Exactly.
So. All right, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Honor meeting you.
Pleasure.
And thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Right. And with us today, we have Nick Rohr. Welcome, Nick. Welcome to
Nick.
The show.
How you doing?
Good. So we heard you have had an experience with Bigfoot.
Yes, I have.
Tell us a lot about where that happened, when it happened, and how it happened.
This happened in October of 2010. I was out taking senior photos, and I was asked to go out to a very remote lake outside of Amanda, Ohio. And I had my wife, who was very pregnant with my second child, in tow with me.
Wow.
I had my five-year-old at the time. He had tagged along. This was a family friend that I was taking pictures of. It was a senior picture shoot.
Okay.
I had the boy I was taking pictures of course, and his dad. So there were multiple witnesses to this. We were out at the lake. The minute we got to the lake, you had to go up a little hill. The minute we got to the lake, this was about noon, and it was abnormally warm that day. It was 80 degrees. Mm-hmm. The minute we got up to the top, something started throwing rocks into the lake at us.
Oh wow.
I am a skeptic. I said, that's not what I think it is, but there was something in my head saying it could be what I think it is.
Yeah.
I had a camera in hand, and I was taking pictures as a senior kid. You know, I was busy. I was doing a job. Didn't think anything of it. The kid got scared to death, and my wife and son were nowhere to be seen there for a few minutes, so I got a little creeped out. The kid was done. He said, I'm ready to go. The entire incident lasted about 10 or 15 minutes. The entire duration that we were there, rocks were being thrown into the lake. Now, this progressed to something hitting a tree, but this was right before we were ready to leave. Long story short, we were there. I saw a face. It had a black face, and I thought it was a raccoon. Didn't think it was what I thought it was. My wife and young son, I told them, I said, go back to the vehicle. I wasn't really worried about it, but I was getting concerned by this point. Mm-hmm. I sent them back to the vehicle. The guy said, well, I think that's a raccoon. That's not a raccoon.
Yeah, raccoons can't throw rocks.
No.
<like that. laughs>
No, yeah. So the guy left, and, you know, the kid was walking down the hill, too. He was creeped out. The senior boy was. So before I left, I took a series of pictures. I just snapped the wide-angle lens on. I had it on anyway, and mm-hmm. I just went over to wide-angle, took two pictures in one area, took three pictures in another area, went home that night, didn't think anything of it. But I got into Photoshop, started touching the kid's face up. A few hours later, I thought, well, maybe I got something. Middle of the night, about midnight, I zoomed in and I saw a black creature.
Oh,
now,
my goodness.
I spent some time trying to pair it up with known primates. Ohio doesn't have any primates in the wild.
No, just my brother.
No known primates were found. And I mean, like I said, Ohio has no native primates. You know, I looked at it. Tried to pair it up. 12:30 at night, I woke my wife up and said, hey, I got a picture of something I can't explain.
Awesome.
My wife is very pregnant.
Yeah.
She got very mad.
Yeah, I was going to say, so, leave me alone.
She started throwing rocks at you, too.
Yeah, she wanted to. So anyway, it progressed, and I submitted my information to the BFRO website.
Okay.
They put it up, and, you know, I had been contacted by an investigator. Actually, I was contacted by an investigator for the BFRO. Talked to him. He interviewed me, and I think he's pretty much said, hey, he's credible. Did some measurements, and I believe the beast was like 7 to 7.5 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness.
And I forget how many feet they established that it was, but I went through the whole, you know, did the report. My report mm-hmm. is on the website, and I've been sharing the pictures since then, and I've been telling my story since then.
Very cool.
So, but it's been really cool.
Now, when you saw the face, about how high off the ground would you say that you could see that?
There was enough foliage. I mean, it's on a really steep hill. It was kind of hard to determine how high up it was,
mm-hmm.
but I did see the black face.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, the guy said, well, it's probably a raccoon. I figured it was a raccoon or a mad hillbilly, you know. You never
but
know.
A raccoon only be about that tall?
Exactly. But, you know, it could have been in a tree.
I
am a skeptic. I mm-hmm. said, you know, this in my luck does not run that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bigfoot encounter with me having a camera.
Yeah.
No. You know,
and you being a photographer, you understand how light works and how
mm-hmm.
the you know, shimmering in trees and everything.
Yeah.
So you get when we talk to people, we get that a lot where they say, well, it's just a shadow on a tree. No, we know what it looks like.
Yeah, this is a face. You can see a face. And furthermore, there's evidence of movement. It is not it's not a stump. There is no manipulation on Photoshop. And I've told people countless times, I will take any pair, any lie detector test you throw at me. I'm not paying for it, but I will pass it. Yeah. You know, and I just, I know they're out there, and I'm happy to share my information and my pictures.
What time of the day was this?
It was noon. Okay. It was about noon, midday, and it wasn't that far into the, you know, we were standing, where I was standing, you could turn around and you could see the road.
Okay.
It's back a very, the road isn't really all that traveled, but it wasn't way into the forest. It was, you know, you could see the road from where we were at.
Since this has happened, have you been back to that same location?
I've been back there twice, and I actually have a friend of mine that took a picture out there. She said, well, you know, it's something in the tree. It's not what I think it is. I told her, I said, that's a face.
Yeah.
And the one that I saw was black. She's got a picture of a face that's got a brown, it's got brown hair.
Wow. Oh.
And there are a few incidents that have been told to me from people that I know in that area.
Mm-hmm.
They say, yeah, we've known about them being in that area. So,
how cool is that?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Well, Mark, we really appreciate you coming and telling your story.
Thank you.
And you can tell us one more time where we're
This happened out at a place called Lake Ramona.
Okay.
It was outside of Amanda, Ohio. And I had numerous witnesses were there.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
What an amazing story.
You.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. All right.
You have a good one.
And with us right now, we have John Turley. Hey, John.
Hi, John.
How we doing?
So, John, we are at the 2018 Ohio Bigfoot Conference. Welcome.
Thank you.
And John has a booth here as well, so he's a fellow vendor. Tell us a little bit about what you're selling today.
Well, my wife and I have started a little group. We call it the Crowtown Squatchers. Crowtown is a nickname for Coshocton, Ohio, which is where we live. So we've been coming to the conference now for about 4 years. This is the first time we've actually been a vendor. It was a couple of people, Erie Eric out there. I was mentioning it to him before that they kind of inspired us to, you know, take our passion with squatching and you know, try a vending table. So we've been doing some projects. My man cave is a Bigfoot room that I spent.
Love it.
We bought a new house in February. I spent the first 3 weeks totally concentrated on that one room alone. Everything else was in boxes, and I'm like, I've got to get this done first.
That's right.
We got to get our priorities straight.
We love it, and thanks for the birdhouse I got from you.
Thank you.
We got a birdhouse with burnout of a Bigfoot on it. I'm gonna give it to my dad because he's a huge Bigfoot fan. A little bit about you have a very interesting story. You have a squatchy story for
I
us?
I do. I'm a kid of the 70s, so I'll be 48 this year. So I grew up in the 70s. Of course, we watched, Cliff mentioned it in there earlier on in his presentation about watching In Search Of.
Oh, yeah.
And $6 Million Man. And there was a show on Saturday morning called Bigfoot and Wild Boy. So Sasquatch was pretty relevant in the pop culture back then. So we would go out. There wasn't video games, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm going to, now I sound like a craggly old dude.
We're the same
like,
age,
back in
so
my
it's okay.
Day,
I get it. We're 47 as well, so we're good.
Our video games were logs.
We were racing our big wheels down the driveway.
We just invented the wheel, and we were riding our bicycles.
Yeah.
But we spent a lot of time out in the sticks, as it were, place in right out of town. Coshocton's pretty well wooded around it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was called Old Man McCoy's Hill. Kids spent a lot of time up there. We'd go up there and fish and run around the woods. And what made it kind of interesting was the old man that owned the actual land would chase us out of there. And he was well known because he would load his shotgun shells up with rock salt and he would shoot at you.
Oh my goodness.
So it was kind of a cat and mouse game the whole time you were up there. But we were up there one day. It was during the summer, probably in the middle of the day at 2 o'clock, so somewhere around there, walking down this trail that the gentleman had cleared out for his whatever, four-wheel drive vehicle that he had. And we're walking down through there, and all this ruckus started to our right. All these little trees shaking.
Oh.
And we immediately, obviously, our heads whiplashed up that way, and you could see the outline of what I would say today would, I would identify it as a Sasquatch. It was huge. It was, I remember, it was like blotting out what I could see, and it was kind of a slope up that, up the hill there. We immediately took off back down the trail. At the time, there was still a little bit of rebels in us, so I do remember we ran some fishing line across that trail.
Oh.
So if it was going to come after us, it would fall down. And,
okay.
So that was our plan. but, I would say I'm somewhat of a level-headed person, and I wanted to ask the person I was with. He was a little bit older than I was at the time, so I asked him a couple of years ago. I said, hey, do you remember that time we were up on Old Man McCoy's Hill? He said, yeah. I said, did we see what I think we saw? And he told me without hesitation that, yes, that's what it was. And so that was my original story. Now, I hadn't talked about it with a lot of people over the years, because we all know what, when anybody, you say it to anybody, they're going to think you're a nut, you're a kook. Yeah, whatever.
I was going to say, we say yeah.
Yeah. So, and people think I'm weird enough anyways.
We love it.
But so I kind of, you know, I would tell it every now and then. A few of my close friends knew that story. So the other story I wanted to share was later on when I was a teenager, same range of hills farther back, because literally we're talking where we saw that original, you know, let's call it a Bigfoot. They have started to build houses and roads up there, and literally, you know, pushing the habitation back.
Okay.
So we're out now, farther back behind there, in a valley, probably, let's call it 300 yards long, 300 to 400 yards long. Big valley, big, huge, surrounded by trees all the way around. We're teenagers, me, three of my buddies, we're out there right around dusk. All along, right directly in the back of the valley, we start hearing what I would call today something like an Ohio howl, you know, kind of up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just looking at each other like, what the heck is that? Time goes by. About every 10, 15 minutes, this thing is making its way around the rim of the valley, staying up in the tree line, and it's right about dusk, so there you can't see anything with those trees as a backdrop. We're not seeing anything, but we're hearing it.
Okay.
We're not hearing footfalls or anything like that, but we hear this thing about every 15 minutes with let loose with one of these howls. Now, it wasn't the, you know, chest shaking that you sometimes that I've heard people explain, but this was loud.
Wow.
And it would come around. It was coming around the edge of the valley, and after about 45 minutes, the group of us had moved closer together. We were kind of spaced out, talking to each other. But as that thing started coming closer to us, we were grouped together. So by the time, right at the end, we're all kind of just about face to face with each other, going, "If we hear that noise one more time, we're getting the heck out of here."
Yeah.
And that thing let loose with a yell up above us on the ridge, and we still couldn't see anything. But you ain't never seen four teenagers run so fast in the cars and get out of there.
Yeah.
And then we drove extremely fast back to, actually we ended up in our high school parking lot is where we ended up. Like, wow. What was that?
Interesting. Now, have you been back to that area since?
Yeah. We actually have. And on a side note on that, a friend of mine actually had a visual sighting of what he said was identified as a juvenile. He said it was about his height at the time, so we're talking 5.5-6 feet tall, reddish-brown hair. They saw it. It came down off the hillside. They were driving past in a car. He said it stopped, and it turned around, like, and was like almost like, he said it was almost like if it was, if it stood still, it, like, they wouldn't see it.
Oh, okay.
That was
oh.
the behavior they were mm-hmm. getting
Interesting.
From
Interesting.
So this was, those two events happened within about 2 weeks of each other.
Okay.
Which was, made it all more interesting.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, before, this was back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're shocked, and some of the people are moving out into those areas mm-hmm. now. So you don't hear as much out there. That particular valley, somebody actually pulled a house trailer up in there now, so it's not. But those woods, they stretch off, and then they break to the east, and then there's a lot more activity out in that area.
Okay.
So that's part of a area that we've actually, we go out and look around out there. It's in between Wills Creek and 541. There's a long stretch of woods in there that I think's got some potential. We've gone mm-hmm. out there several times.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a couple of graveyards out there that a lot Ooh. Of people are oh, attracted right. to.
Okay. Yeah, we like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Why do you feel that they haven't been found yet? I mean, how, we say they're so elusive, but over thousands of years, nobody has actually physically caught one that they could prove.
No.
You know, why do you feel that they're so elusive? Or how do you feel they're so elusive?
Well, I jokingly tell people now when, because I talk to a lot of people about Sasquatch because my office, mm-hmm. what I do is I see people on a daily basis. Lots of people come in and out, and I've got Sasquatch stuff all over my office. Mm-hmm. So this question comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't they found, you know, mm-hmm. why can't we find one? Why don't we mm-hmm. find a body? For a live one, I always tell people anymore. I said, because you smell like a cheeseburger. And if I was an apex predator in a wooded area, I would smell you mm-hmm. before you even got
yeah.
close to me. It's kind of like a blind man walking around a room and somebody's got a pair of infrared goggles on. Like, I could walk back up and smack you in the back of the head and nobody would, you would never even know I was there.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For over the years, while nobody's find one, I obviously I'd say they're smart. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to if they're the apex predator, you know, they're the big dog of the woods. I, you know, you don't see a lot of the other big predators either a lot. So
yeah, what do you feel that they eat?
From what I understand, they're pretty omnivorous when it comes to food.
Okay.
It wasn't until I started, you know, reading stuff here mm-hmm. lately. Well, I should say lately, but I'm talking the last 5 years that. That it never dawned on me that they would eat carrion or mm-hmm. deer or anything like that. I always thought they were foragers
and
they would eat stuff like that. I know some people have talked about they would eat, you know, in the lean year or in the lean months, they would eat a lot of pine and things like that. So
we hear a lot of different things that they might be, whether it a physical being or an alien or just I forget the word where... You see them, but they're not metaphysical.
Metaphysical.
What's your opinion on that? Do you feel that they're a solid being like us? Or do you think that there's something metaphysical about them?
Well, that is a deep subject.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, that's... Well, I've read a lot of both sides. I personally feel they're flesh and blood.
Okay.
They're flesh and blood creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Now... I've had some pretty harrowing paranormal activity in a house I used to live in.
Yeah.
So if somebody would say to me, well, you know, if you've had this kind of experience, can you relate it to the Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, I, you can't really rule anything out.
Yeah.
But like I said, my personal opinion is they're flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. They are a species.
Because they leave footprints.
Right.
You know, and if they were metaphysical, they wouldn't weigh anything. And they wouldn't leave the footprints, you know? That's my opinion.
Yeah.
You know? But go ahead. I'm sorry.
What kind of paranormal experience did you have?
We had, I lived in a house. We fixed up it was my comic book room.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my stepsons at the time were a little bit too nosy. And so I had that room locked. On this day, the day that all this happened, this was an afternoon in the summertime, 90 degrees outside. Our house had no air conditioning. It was hotter than the day is long, and it was hot in our house. I got home from work. We had just got done cleaning that room. We were vacuuming, and it was a hangout room. I was playing guitar then. I was in a band. There was a lot of... So we left out of the room. We went downstairs, and we were in the kitchen talking and talking about what we were going to do that night. I remember it was Friday night. We were going to go out. Said, what do you want to do? And then, boom, it sounded like... I thought somebody hit our house with a car.
Oh my goodness.
Went outside, and I said, what the heck? And I walked around, nothing. And my wife at the time said, that sounded like it came from upstairs. So I go up the stairs. Our dog is cringing at this door.
Aww.
And I was like, what's the matter, buddy? And I go up there, and you can feel the cold air coming underneath the door.
Wow.
Now, this is going to raise the hair on my arms, too. That air was, it felt like a meat locker in that room. I opened that door up. I had a skeleton key. I kept that door locked. I opened that door, and that air hit me, and it just went from the bottom of your feet up to, you crawled up your back and made the hair stick up everywhere.
Amazing.
The room looked like a tornado had hit it.
Oh.
We had just got done straight, and I'm talking figures and comic books and all these things. It just thrown all over the place. The scariest part was I had some Ouija boards in the closet. It was locked. Two locks.
Oh,
master lock and a skeleton key. Those Ouija boards were slid out from underneath that door.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then the topper was, I had a child's toy. It was a turtle. That was one of my nicknames.
Uh-huh.
And it had one of those little yellow strings on it. Little kids pull it. The wheels are just, you know, different. And they go wah, 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 like that.
Yeah.
That thing had gone from this third shelf out on the comic book room, inside the closet, with the string coming out under the door. The door is still locked with the master lock and the skeleton key.
God.
We weren't downstairs 5 minutes. The windows were nailed shut. There's no human that was in the other, and there's no other humans in the house except me and my wife. It was totally, and like I said, that cold air, I will never forget that. Total tip off of the paranormal right there.
Yeah.
But that house, we had a lot of other, we saw a little boy standing in the hallway one time out of the corner of our vision. A lot of weird things going on there. So we moved out, not because of that, but about a year after that we got another house. But we had some strange activity in there. But that day was the topper.
Yeah.
That was.
How do you reconcile that in your mind? You're like.
It was just one of the. I kind of feel blessed that I was able to experience that, because a lot of people go through their lives very blasé.
Yeah.
Now, that part of that paranormal, extra sensory kind of stuff, a lot of people never experience these things. But and Bigfoot's exactly the same way. People will go through their whole lives looking for something and they'll never find it. And I feel blessed that I've been kind of. Given an opportunity to see a different side of universe, reality, whatever word you want to put in there.
Makes you feel alive, doesn't it?
It makes you feel very alive.
You're like, oh my God.
It makes you feel like there's a lot more out there, you know. And plus, you know, we humans are kind of pretentious in the fact that we think we know everything.
Right.
If you tell somebody, like, you believe in Bigfoot, like, how do you know that? And I'm like, well, because there's a lot of, you know, evidence out there, and they just don't believe it because Bigfoot is, you know, a fairy tale, just like until you see one,
and then that just opens up more possibilities, and you want to dig deeper and find out what the heck is going on with these things.
And that's the best part, is talking to those people, like here at the conference, or Mark was up here earlier. I've been to several of his presentations. I've met some people at those. Several people that have just really, you know, down to earth human beings that will tell you their story, and it's like, how can you doubt that? I mean, you'd believe them if they told you there's a sale down at the grocery store, but when they tell you Bigfoot's real and they saw one yesterday, my skepticism rises.
All
right, well, thank you for stopping by,
John. It's been a pleasure,
John.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, and
thank you for having me.
And if anybody wants to talk to you or get a hold of some of your stuff online, is there a way that they can get a hold of you to buy
some? We have our website is up. It's called CrowtownSquatchers.com.
Okay.
And you can find me or my wife on Facebook, John Turley or Beth Turley.
All right.
Also on Twitter. So yeah, check us out any way you can. And I would love to hear from anybody.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Well, appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the conference, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you. I'll be here.
As we come to an end of another amazing day.
Yes, tired. 2018's in the can, so to speak. No, we love this
in
conference.
The trees.
Yeah,
in the
trees.
We'll be here next year. We will be here next year,
definitely.
Folks.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have to come out. Yeah. You have to come out and see us. Come to our booth. Tell us your story.
I'll tell you what's amazing about this particular conference is that there's just so many interesting people, experts, and, you know, like, everybody here has just got, you know, just so happy to be here.
Yeah.
You know, just
tons of great stories.
Great vendors, too.
We have people coming up to our booth telling us their stories, and we're like, do you want to get on the air and tell us? And they're like, oh, no, we can't.
Yeah, the best ones were off air.
Yeah, I'm like, come on. We want to hear your stories, you know?
Definitely.
So, yeah, so it ends another great event. We'll definitely be back here next year. And you guys have to be here.
Yes. If you are going to choose a conference or two to go, I would definitely put this one at the top of the list.
It's in a huge park. It's a 7-mile drive into the park from the entrance. So be careful of the frogs.
And watch out for Bigfoot because he's been spotted here several times.
So, for real.
For real.
For real. And that's why they have the conference here. Yeah. Anyways, folks. This ends another awesome show.
Yeah, we're getting back on the road now. And check us out. We got a couple more shows that are coming up here. Check out our Facebook page, our Twitter, our Instagram, and we will catch up with you next week.
Get on our Facebook page and buy our Littlefoots. They need a home.
They do. Adopt them today.
Yes. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.